Okay, this is the Traffic Safety Commission meeting held on Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. Start with the roll. Chairman Reese?
Here.
Commissioner Chase?
Here.
Commissioner Gillis?
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Here.
Mr. J. Rahman?
Here.
Commissioner Carl? Commissioner Osgood?
Here.
Any comment on the minutes from last time? Or should I call it transcript?
I like the way it says, Commissioner Gillis interrupted and said.
That's not me, that's Kim.
Of course, we're all accused of that.
Yeah.
I also said like a few more times than I need to say.
So we have a few objections. Could I have a motion?
So moved.
Any comments? Okay.
Nope. So moved.
Right, all in favor of Guy from the minutes?
Aye.
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 All right. So the main, thank you folks for coming, and did you guys sign up to speak?
I did sign up, but I'm...
Okay, so the agenda shows public comment and then discussion of the Northeast Speed Volume Report. So I guess unless there's any objection, I'm happy to turn it over to public comment first and then go from there. I think the main thing that we have is, I think at the last meeting, one of the things we asked is, as you I think know, when the board hired the new traffic consultants and they did their study, they excluded the Northeast quadrant because that work had already been done by KLOA. So we asked that they would go back and check the volume counts and the speed counts with the barriers removed. They have done that, and so we have that data. I don't know if you've seen that information. Okay. So why don't I go ahead and we'll turn it over to you if you want to make any comments, and then we'll go to the board. So whoever would like to go first, if you don't mind just giving us your name and address.
Hi, Kelly Perrin. Kelly Carrying, 1226 William.
Thanks, Kelly.
Did have a chance to review Thomas Engineering's report. Thank you for having me do that. Once again, I think they did a fantastic job of using the toolbox that it sounds like this village can use moving forward in which to make data-driven decisions. What I found as a key takeaway is it's clear that when you listen to opinion versus data, you get very different results. I'm in survey research. Opinions are important, but they don't represent real what's happening on the ground. If you look, Bonnie Gray was the one street that actually needed no treatment whatsoever. Yet we had done treatment that, you know, instituted barriers, which is like the last resort you would ever want to do. So I just want to thank you for engaging them to recommission the data and the research, so that we can all make much smarter decisions using the toolbox around the levels and the proper treatment of such. And I thought it was very straightforward. What also was pretty alarming, which is what I know we had voiced concerns around, was Monroe and William. It is kind of like whack-a-mole. We just pushed the traffic to the other streets. On streets that already had high volumes, much higher than Bonnie Bray and Clinton. And as well as takeaway that I took was that, you know, the traffic backs up well before you get to those streets if people are intending to cut through. So by not doing anything on those streets, you didn't really divert any real traffic patterns to them. But I just want to applaud and thank you for doing the data commission study. I'm a big believer that all decisions should be made on data, not on opinions. Because trust me, in research, if we took everyone's opinions, the TV ratings would look very different in the U.S. If we just asked what your popular show was, your favorite show, and then we projected out you as the universe of what everybody sees, feels, and experiences. So just want to say thank you and just comment on the few findings that I took away from the report myself.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Kelly? All right, thank you.
So, just being on the forum for 1600 block of Clinton, I pretty much agree with what Kelly just said, and as she did, I also want to stress the difference between a personal opinion, personal feelings, personal thinking, and objective, real data. And we have to study, which pretty much say the same thing. And the same thing is unfortunately the opposite of what had been done. And you know, I believe that no one here is really an expert on trafficking situation. So none of us is, but we have different jobs, so we do different things. So please listen to what the real experts say, even though what they say may be against what you would like. And there is a, in addition, I would like to ask something else. You know, sometimes, maybe it's my limitation, but sometimes it's not clear to me on what a vote is based. So I hear many of you are very clear in explaining why they are going to vote that way. Whether it is a yes or a no, it doesn't really matter. But sometimes I don't know why what a person votes the same way. So I would like to ask you whether whether I am allowed after a vote, if it is not clear to me, to ask one of you what is the base of your vote, what are the facts behind your vote, or what are, I don't know, what you think, your opinion, etc., that support your vote. Is this something that I am allowed to do, or is the vote something privileged information, or let me say, I throw my intention to argue about the vote, you know, no, with just a simple question without any follow-up, but can you please explain the page of the vote?
There may be other people here may have more different views. I'll give you my sense, and if anybody else wants to comment, and that is, even though I'm answering your question right now, generally in a meeting like this, actually, this is a good example. I think the way the rules, you know, there are certain rules. I think we roughly follow the Roberts Rules of Order in a meeting. And generally during public comment, it should be public comment. And usually when it's public comment, there's not even a give and take. I mean, we don't answer questions. We don't do what I'm doing right now, which is answering your question. Usually public comment, you hear public comment, and this is any commission like this. You hear public comment, the committee or the commission hears the comment, you go through anybody who has comment, then you turn it over to the commission to have a discussion, and then there's a vote. Now, after that, if you wanted to engage with any particular member and find out if they didn't adequately explain their reason, I think they would be free to do that. But I think during the course of the meeting, that's technically not something that's it's expected or anticipated. Now, having said that, we have historically been pretty informal, and you know, we understand we're all neighbors here. We're trying to reach the right result, so we tend to be you know, like I said, more informal, and we have a little more give and take. You might have been at a couple of the meetings when they were really jammed with people, and you know, we've gone through some of the same issues a few times. I think we started to try to limit the amount of public comment and to limit that kind of give and take, because otherwise, as you know, some of these meetings were going till 10 o'clock at night. So those are my two cents to try to answer your question. I'm happy to have any other commissioners weigh in if they'd like to.
I agree completely.
So I don't know, did that answer your question?
Well, you know, I stop hearing me. So after the votes, am I allowed to go to one of you, ladies and gentlemen, and ask, can you please explain to me the basis of your vote? If it's not clear. Most of the time, let's be clear, it's almost always clear, I understand. But sometimes I don't, right? And to me, this is important also because if I understand the reasons of the vote, then I can understand the issue better. I understand the solution. I understand also the recommendation that you guys make to the board.
I appreciate that. And I guess what I would say is that, is again, there's an informal answer and there's a technical formal answer. The formal answer is, no, there's not really a provision for you to question the people after the vote about why they voted a certain way. That said, I think after the meeting, you're certainly free to ask any one of us, and we're free to answer or not answer. Now, having said that, I think in many, I've been on this, and several of us have been on this commission for many years. We're appointed, we're not elected, but we've always tried to be responsive to people and questions that people ask during the meeting. So I think we've rarely engaged in heavy formality, and I think we've really tried to answer the question. So I think what I would say to you is we would do our best to answer your question and explain the basis. As a technical matter, I think it's not required, but as an informal matter, I think I would probably speak for us all to say that we would generally try to make it a practice to answer the questions that are raised and make sure, because you're right, we want not only the public to know why we make a recommendation, but we'd also, it's in the minutes, we'd like the village board to know why we make a recommendation, because they then have the ultimate decision. And I would, I guess, add, at least again in my opinion, what's most important is that the village board understand the reason we as a commission voted a certain way. It's probably not as critical why any one individual commissioner voted a certain way.
You know, some of you are really very clear why they are voting, but some of you don't say anything during the discussion and they vote. And I wonder, well, maybe they have an epiphany, I don't know. But that's yeah. But I understand.
But you know, and you know, we also, the village board tries to, we have a number of different people on the commission, and you know, we try to have a diverse commission with different viewpoints, and sometimes people articulate a reason, sometimes they don't, and that's their prerogative. But you know, again, I would just say that our general goal, our goal is, when we do make a recommendation, we would certainly hope that the public understands why, and that the village board understands why, so that when they decide whether to accept our recommendation or not, we've provided sufficient reasons. Thank you. Sir? Okay. All right.
Maybe you want to explain to her that the village board, so the village board sends everybody material in advance to read. So all of us get to read the problems way in advance, and everything is discussed. Some people like to discuss things and are a little more talkative than others, but this is a voluntary position, and everybody puts a lot of time and effort to understand the problem, help our village to have good solutions. So just because they're not really chatty in the board meeting doesn't mean they don't take the same amount of care than somebody who's a little more talkative.
Okay,
thank you. Thanks, Ron. Why don't I go ahead and turn it over to the commission, ask if anybody has any general comment or anything they'd like to add to the agenda, and in particular, I guess, either follow up on things we discussed at the last meeting or follow up on the counts. I would like to make sure that we thank the staff and Thomas Engineering for getting these counts and numbers to us. I think at the last meeting, we weren't sure if they'd be able to get it in time for this meeting. They did, and I thought they did a great job. So
agreed.
I think on behalf of our commission, we'd like to let the board know.
I just
want to
say that I totally agree. I was very happy to see that they had it in this meeting.
Yeah.
We talked about making some changes to our column toolkit in the last meeting, and it doesn't seem those changes have been incorporated in what came back from Thomas Engineering. I don't know if that's something that we were going to be doing in the future or if we forgot about it, so I just wanted to follow up to make sure. We talked about three items in particular to add to the toolkit.
Do you mind reiterating those? Reiterating those?
So adding where does a cul-de-sac fit in, where does a one-way barrier fit in, and a stoplight as three things we talked about. Three calming measures we talked about doing and where they would fit into the levels. I did notice in the updated version that there was an asterisk at the bottom. It wasn't in ours that said there may be other measures, and if so, we can add them in. But we talked last week about specifically adding those.
Yeah, so for example, when we were debating the barriers and the kinds of barriers that we had at Clinton and Bonnie Bray, would those be level 4 or some other level? Or, and where?
Do we know what they are?
Not yet. Yeah, so you guys know.
Sounds engineering.
Yeah, I don't think there was any formal comments on that. I know that we had discussed a little bit maybe at one of these meetings. I think one of the members had asked that. So we will have that conversation to see if it's appropriate to just, whether it's a level beyond what's on there or just other things for consideration and what those pros and cons are. We'll make sure to.
We actually asked if we needed to take a vote on it and not to add them, and instead we didn't, just to.
Yeah, so it's just a matter, I think if they would just simply note, if those items, cul-de-sac, like a barrier and stoplight, if.
Like the one-way barrier, half-street barrier.
Like at Clinton.
Like at Clinton.
If they have an opinion whether those would appropriately fit, say, under, you know, what level of their matrix.
And we could add it to the matrix that we're talking.
Mr. Commissioner, could we also find out if a roundabout is all in the plan or what level that would come to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that was included either.
Well, it's mentioned somewhere, but I thought it might not be a bad thing.
I agree.
Thank you.
So that would be added to the list that Kim mentioned.
Please.
Thank you. Any other comments from other commissioners?
John? Quick question on Greenfield. I don't see any data here regarding William to Harlem on Greenfield. Did we have that in a separate or previous study? We've been bouncing around Greenfield for a long time. I brought up the fact that once Fenwick moves into Dominican, the bus situation is going to be probably strenuous to that street. And then some of our neighbors up there also brought forth that there's still a lot of speeding on Greenfield. So did we or do we have any data on, or new data, I guess, on Greenfield? Obviously, they did the north-south streets, but there's nothing on here regarding Greenfield. But I just will say quickly that I also appreciate what TAG did. New data, very important. I'm looking forward to extrapolating and implementing measures that will, you know, either slow down or relocate the traffic on these four streets, but I'd like to get Greenfield included in there as well, because I think that's going to be a hot box also. But this new data is good, and I do like the calming toolbox, so I'm looking forward to having a conversation about that tonight.
I ran out of the house without bringing, I have a notebook that has the KLOA numbers and the Thomas numbers. And so I just don't remember if KLOA measured Greenfield. I assume they did.
I believe they did.
KLOA did.
Correct, yes.
Yes. Right.
TAG was not asked to, so we don't have any recent numbers on that. I know that did come up for public comment last meeting.
We know that if they are coming through, when they are coming through, Greenfield is the recipient of that traffic heading east, so we can think about that as we move forward.
I'm just going to say I like the scoring matrix. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a number and then you have options down there. So I'm looking forward to this in the future.
Anything else for now, Rick?
No, that's it right now.
Thank you, Rick.
I couldn't agree more. It was great to read that. Let's see what we could compare it with. Yeah.
Thank you.
But it's capping at 2. So some of this. So it is capping at 2, I think, my score they gave us for 2. But some of the ones we initially discussed comes up to the 3 and 4. numbers if you look at the, whatever the rating scores are.
Can you, do you want to elaborate? I know that based on the numbers that they came up with, if I read it correctly, that they, at least when they added the most recent counts in that northeast quadrant, they did identify that based on some volume and speed on Thomas and William, that it rated a 2 on their matrix. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, like we had initially talked about certain barriers. In this new matrix, those are all rated as level 3 or 4.
I see what you're saying.
So what we thought we could potentially implement are now coming in level 3 and 4, but the max score they've given for any of this is a 2.
And I think sort of consistent with the comment that we received tonight is that having this toolbox does give us some guidance. I guess, at least my view, I would say that it remains guidance. And it doesn't mean that there might be times when you might decide that. And in fact, I think there's one point where Thomas Engineering notes that while one street maybe is one, that they recommend that there could be some of the calming measures that would normally be within 2. And so, but obviously a departure, and that's probably, to Giuseppina's comment that if we were to depart from the guidance, all the more reason to have to explain why, to determine if there's a good reason to recommend some departure from the guidance.
I did just notice that Rambod is actually on here as a level 3. So we don't need to add that.
Okay, thanks, Kim. Did you hear that, Pat?
I did not.
Commissioner Hoyt noted that roundabout is already listed as a level 3 mitigation measure. Yeah.
Yes, I know, I've read about it. That's why it came up.
Okay. There were in the Thomas Engineering Group some suggestions with respect to the north-south streets they studied, including possibly adding parking and striping for parking on both sides of the street to reduce the sight lines, or at least to give the appearance that the street is less wide than it is, that each of those streets are less wide, or at least, and I think they, by my reading, and you folks could correct me if I'm wrong, they recommended that, there be perhaps added striping for parking on at least Thomas and William, and that
Monroe
and William, and that we consider perhaps doing that at Clinton and Bonnie Bray. And they also suggested the possible addition of a speed limit sign, I think southbound. And one, I guess I'd be interested to hear from the commission if you have any comments about those recommendations. And then a second, I guess, point of procedure, which is if we were to recommend something like those, which are, I guess, might fairly modest, whether we think those would be the kinds of things that would require notice to the neighbors before we did anything like that.
Well, I think the putting in a sign, that's fine. We can do that easily. As far as the parking, I think that'd be kind of tough to do the entire, if you think about north, south, to stripe everything. I mean, I guess it could be done. I don't know what the cost is. I know striping is rather expensive down in the end.
Is it all the way from north to Division or just the first two, just north to Greenfield?
I don't have a
note. These are all
two blocks.
Lemoyne.
To Lemoyne, just one block, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is just for the existing parking that's there, that 2-hour parking. They would stripe that. They're not asking to add parking on the on the west side. So this would just be on Monroe from north to Lemoyne, William from north to Lemoyne, and Clinton from north to Lemoyne. Just be on the east side of all those streets. That's it. So where there's 2-hour parking, we'd be adding striping. We would not be doing any striping where there's no parking.
Could you repeat?
We would not add any striping where there's no parking right
now.
And the cost would be, $600 a block, so a couple grand.
Okay.
So it's doable. It's feasible. It's doable.
Yes.
Say east side only.
Correct. That's right now. There's only parking on the east side of those streets, not on the west side.
Now, can you do it near Fresh Time on the west side where the truck parking is, or do some sort of slash in there?
Yeah, we can.
And again, just to thin things out even more, because you've got the cars on the east side, there is the truck standing, I believe, part. I forgot the exact terminology.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, they have a loading and unloading zone there.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you do that, which would also thin it out a little
right.
bit.
Right. Yeah, wherever there was parking, we could, you know, add the parking spaces yeah. and where there's not, next to a parking spot, and hash it out.
Okay.
And regarding the speed limit sign, didn't it talk about recommending maybe a flashing speed limit versus the existing speed limit? Because we have speed limit signs on Monroe and William now, correct?
Monroe, southbound, no, they don't. So there's no speed limit sign on Monroe, so that's why he's saying to add a speed limit sign there. And then he said, if this doesn't work in the future, if you still see a problem, then add the flashing speed limit sign. But right now, it's just making a speed limit sign and putting it up.
So if you could, are there speed limit signs? There's nothing on Monroe. There is no speed limit sign on William either.
William has a speed limit sign going southbound, so that one does have a speed limit sign.
And then Clinton and Bonnie Bray, they do have speed limit signs?
Clinton has one on the southbound only, and Bonnie Bray does not have a speed limit sign. So Public Works can make a couple speed limit signs and throw them up pretty easily.
Okay.
My opinion is, for what it's worth, is the speed limit signs aren't worth too much. But I'm not opposed to adding them. They get ignored, as we know, generally. But
almost as bad as stop signs.
Yeah, but the flashing ones do work. I mean, I've witnessed that where. Yeah.
Don't we have two flashing ones in the village that we can kind of move around? Did I?
Well, I'm talking about the permanent ones do work.
I gotcha.
Yes.
So right now there's no speed limit signs. Once you turn up around now, there's no indication of what the speed is.
Correct. So I'm Monroe. There's no speed limit sign going southbound. When you turn on to Monroe from North Avenue.
William, yes. Bonnie Bray, yes.
Bonnie Bray, no. So Bonnie Bray and Monroe are the two that don't have it.
Okay.
So we may not do a lot. I think it's good to let people know when they first come into our village what the speed limit is, so they know what they're violating.
I mean, given the volumes and the speed and the fact that Bonnie Bray was not recommended for any change, I would suggest that, you know, I don't know, again, the cost of these signs, but Monroe is a different animal. You know, it seems to me that adding a speed limit sign on Monroe makes sense, and it might make sense to recommend a flashing speed limit sign on Monroe southbound. Bonnie Bray, I would suggest that it makes sense to add a just regular speed limit sign on Bonnie Bray, given the volume and sort of the, you know, again, trying to be consistent with the recommendations from Thomas Engineering and, you know, based on their numbers. Any reaction to that?
I would agree with that. I do like Rick's comment on the striping of the existing parking on the west side of the street. I would think on both. William is the big one, for in my opinion, because it goes all the way, well, as does Monroe. But Monroe, we're going to have the loading zone there. I think, in my opinion, William, because it goes straight through the division, I like the idea of the parking striping. It does have a stop sign at the moment. I would almost say, do we uptick that to a blinking, not stop sign, speed limit sign? I would almost ask your guys' opinion, should we upgrade William's speed limit sign to a blinking? At this point, Bonnie Bray and Clinton, I'm pretty passive on if we do anything at all over there, but I do like looking at Monroe and Franklin with the parking striping, the loading zone striping, and maybe on Franklin, a speed limit sign that talks to you, and adding a speed limit sign on Monroe.
Are these speed limit signs, I thought it was like $50,000, but these, the flashing ones?
They're about five.
Oh, five. So you're saying both Monroe and William, the flashing signs?
Well, William has a regular speed limit sign, but and we don't have to do William at this point, but because based on the data, we're within the bounds of everything is okay over there.
But both Monroe and William were scored at 44 and 45, I think. So they're both level two.
It's getting close, yes.
So might as well do
but with side. Regard to their conclusions, do we do anything? If we do something, do we push it somewhere else? So I'm trying to just think about that whole quadrant over there. And, of course,
I have it on do not.
Every meeting.
you're we're going to find you in contempt. So John, it sounds like the recommendation is currently on Monroe there's no speed limit on the sign. The recommendation is to add a flashing speed limit sign southbound on Monroe on the first block. And on William, where there's an upgrade, the existing speed limit sign to a flashing speed limit sign on William as well. And
so that would be the most that I would recommend, and a striping on both streets. But I don't even think at this point that we need to implement the flashing speed limit signs. I said maybe we could, but because of the data we just collected, I don't want to do too much because I'm more interested in seeing what happens if we do very little and we hear more from our neighbors up north. So I'm trying to be as minimalist as possible right now, except for the idea that I heard with Rick and the data talking about the striping. But I do think a speed limit sign is needed on Monroe. It doesn't have to be $5,000, because I think William is going to be the busiest street there either now or in the future. But I guess my recommendation would be that we just add a regular speed limit sign on Monroe and then do the parking striping on Monroe and Franklin. Leave everything else alone and then talk about Greenfield down the road. But again, I don't think we do anything to Greenfield until we start having conversations with Fenwick and what their needs are on Greenfield with regard to the Priory. We've done stop signs on Greenfield. We added stop signs, so I can table that as well.
So, well, just to be clear, you mean Monroe and William, not Monroe and Franklin?
Did I say Franklin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three times.
I meant Monroe and William. Those okay. are my concerns.
Okay.
This meeting.
Arun.
So the scoring's a lot, right? So both Monroe and William have high scores, or whatever level two. One has because higher speeding and the other has more crashes. So William supposedly has more crashes on it, so got extra points for it. Well, Monroe has more of those 20 plus speeding. People go faster than 20 plus on that speed. So the stop signs can work on crashes and reducing speeding.
So
hopefully.
I'm gonna
go ahead.
I'm looking at our new improved matrix here. At level two, we've got textured pavement and we have rumble strips now mm-hmm. at our fingertips.
Oh boy.
And we have two level two streets here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing it out. It's something we can start thinking about.
Sure.
You know, Bill can think and make recommendations.
I'll make a recommendation.
Well, no, we don't have to talk. I mean, decide tonight, but if you think about both those streets are pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
They do get a lot of volume throughout this
What's
whole last process.
I had a comment living on William every day and literally watching, right? There's no stop sign from Division to Greenfield, right? You got Trinity High School, and then you got the Friar Park. People go
going to the park for their kids on William, people taking their kids to the high school at the other, on the other street. People fly down those streets because they look wide and open, like was written in TEG report.
Right.
And there's no stop sign to slow them down. So they get a good speed until they get to basically Greenfield. I don't know why those streets don't have stop signs at those intersections, because there's a high school entrance right there at Berkshire and Monroe, like half a block, not even a half block in, where all the parents are being funneled because we all got tickets for dropping our kids off on Division.
Oh, Berkshire Street. Jackson.
Huh? Jackson, sorry.
Yeah.
Jackson. And then Monroe, there's Lathrop, Jackson, and then Monroe and William, right? And at Monroe is a block away from Trinity. People come flying down that street because there's no stop sign, like I said, between Division all the way to Greenfield. So Berkshire Street that cuts through there and then dead ends into the park, it allows you to go two full blocks, very long blocks, without ever having to stop. And people fly down that street on both Monroe and William. And then you've got literally kids getting to Trinity a block away at Jackson. Right? And then you've got the Friar Park where all the kids come and park on William Street to go to practice when practice starts happening. And so my only thing of interjecting here is that speed being an issue, part of probably why it's an issue is because there's nothing to slow down that traffic for two full blocks. They can just go literally turn on Division and go straight to Greenfield, or come down Division, or come down Greenfield, turn on and go straight down to Division. And nothing slows them down.
And that's on William.
And Monroe. There's no stop signs either at Berkshire Street that intersects those halfway through.
So we do have some data. You're talking about William, right?
You're talking
about speed on William.
I'm saying the William and Monroe speed is probably due to the fact that there is no stop sign to stop the traffic down Monroe or William at the Berkshire block.
But I'm going to interject, take back the meeting, and say that we're not going to discuss stop signs tonight because it's not on the agenda and there's not been any notice to anybody in the area about a stop sign. So generally, something like adding a stop sign, we would require there to be a request, a petition, you know, go through the procedure before we think, before we consider adding a new additional stop sign. And you know, in the meantime, I think it's telling that the traffic engineers, at least among the recommendations that they made, did not include a recommendation for a stop sign, which is generally not a recommendation for controlling speed. That said, I guess what I would suggest is that if we have a consensus with respect to striping the existing parking so as to change the sight line to make it appear that those, at least, and I don't know if we want to take these a street at a time, but it sounds to me, hearing the comment, that there's consensus that we should stripe the existing parking areas on William and Monroe between North Avenue and Lemoyne. That there's a consent, I think there's a consensus on that, and I guess we can decide whether we need to have a motion. And
just to clarify, those are two streets where they were deemed to be level two.
Correct.
And adding the parking lines is a level two common
right. So and so what I would suggest is that we sort of resolve the striping, and then let's go back and maybe see if we can resolve and come up with a recommendation with respect to any additional signage, if that's okay. So I guess let's start with the striping and see if anyone, and let's focus at least starting with William and Monroe on that block between North Avenue and Lemoyne, and ask if there's general consensus on striping the existing parking. Is that consistent with what you guys understand to be the recommendation?
Didn't hear some of that, but I believe so.
Okay.
The only addition is that they are recommending to stripe Clinton as well.
Recommending what?
To stripe Clinton as well.
Yeah, let's start with William and Monroe, and then let's address whether we make the same recommendation for Clinton and Lemoyne.
Just to clarify, the cost of that is?
So we do our striping in the fall when all of our projects are completed. We have them come in for one day and do it. So if we want to do it in the spring, which we can, it'd be $600 per block plus a $500 trip charge for them to show up early. That's also maybe $3,000.
is, should we do all three streets as long as they're coming once and there's only one?
Yes. I'm just talking about for other projects, they'd have to come back to finish those.
Right. I mean, I don't want them to come for two and then back to one. Yep.
I'll be done in under an hour.
Thank you.
All right, so you're recommending, at least you're suggesting if they're coming for a trip charge, that they at least do the striping, at least on the three streets.
The three streets that we're talking about that are recommended.
Any comment on that recommendation?
Well, if money is no object. they could get it done in a day. I was more interested in Monroe and Jackson.
Monroe
and William.
It'll be.
It's going to be Keystone free. So
I would say, from a staff perspective, I wouldn't base the decision necessarily on the cost for the striping in this regard. I think there might be some additional costs for doing that street, but if you want to focus on Monroe and William, which I think was the original direction, I think that would be acceptable. If we want to revisit Clinton, that could align with one of our other striping, our typical striping schedule. Maybe that's the way to do it.
What would be the reason to not do Clinton? Other than $600, it was recommended in the study.
Right.
Is there any other reason not to do it other than $600? If he talks about the negligible impact to the residents,
it might keep people that are parking out of residents' driveways. Well, now Clinton, that is not the dentist's office. That is Clinton.
And there's no parking on the west side of that street.
There is no parking on the west side. Because we have heard complaints that people that are trying to go to the various dentists and retail and stores up on North Avenue, that sometimes they park in front of somebody's driveway. So if it is negligible and it is recommended, then including Clinton into the fold here for striping is probably a really good idea.
Is this data only done to LeMoyne Street?
Yes.
I think so. There's no data past
LeMoyne.
Greenfield.
In front of us
to open up the discussion.
I thought that they were going to do all the way to Division Street. Has that data not come in?
I'm not sure if they were going all the way.
No, we're just going to LeMoyne. That's the cut through where everyone goes. It was more for cut through traffic, so they stopped at LeMoyne.
So there's no data past LeMoyne down to Division?
No.
Okay, then I pull my comments back.
To the extent there's data, that would be the KLOA data. You'd have to look at that. You know, you can see in some areas the KLOA data was a little bit higher, actually. But so we'd have to look and see if there's a pre-existing KLOA data, but at least the new data is limited to the first block south of North Avenue.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I
think we have a consensus on a recommendation with respect to the striping. And
I think you do.
Do you all think, would you like to have a motion on that, on striping, or do we need one? All right, would anyone like to make a motion with respect to striping?
I'll make a motion that we accept the TAG's recommendations to stripe, and maybe make our own addition of striping from North Avenue to LeMoyne, the existing parking spots on Monroe, William, and Clinton Place.
Yeah. What about Franklin?
Oh boy. Just those three things.
I'm seconding it.
Strike that from the record there.
Second.
Okay. Okay, striping the existing parking on Monroe, William, and Clinton Place. First block from Avenue down to LeMoyne.
That's correct.
All right, and I heard Kim, Commissioner Hoyt seconded that. All right, let's any further discussion on that motion? All right, hearing no further discussion, let's vote on that one.
Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Mr. Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Mr. J. Robin?
Yes.
Mr. Oscar?
Yes.
All right, 6-0.
Let's take up stop sign, speed limit sign on William southbound, the first lot south of North Avenue.
The existing sign that's there?
Oh, I apologize. Let's take that Monroe first. It does not have a stop sign.
Does not have a
speed limit sign. So we're discussing the concept of a speed limit sign for southbound traffic on Monroe.
Yeah.
On the first block that's out of North Avenue. Right now,
it
there's
does not
no
exist
existing.
Today.
Right now, there's no existing speed limit sign on Monroe on that first block, and so there's a recommendation to add a speed limit sign, and I think a discussion as to whether we would recommend that that be a flashing speed limit sign. Any discussion about that? I'm going to just focus on Monroe for the moment, since that one does not have a speed limit sign.
For that, not flashing.
You're
I agree.
You're saying flashing.
Yeah. Just a regular.
I would only do flashing if we're down towards somewhere in the middle between North Avenue and Division.
Right, yeah.
A flashing, but not that close to North Avenue.
Does anybody on the commission feel strongly that
you got to go around that loading zone?
So I just question related to it. How expensive are these humble strips?
Rocky
strips. Yeah.
Do we even do it here
normally? Can we let's just focus on the speed limit?
Let's focus on
the speed limit, because if you're saying the stop signs are not working, do you want to do an automated stop
sign? Well, I guess you know my suggestion is that we take an incremental approach and we start with the striping, we start with the speed limit sign. If it turns out that neighbors are not seeing any relief, and you know we continue to see speeding, then maybe we continue to look and see if there are other level two measures that would make sense.
And just to clarify, both adding the speed limit sign and adding a flashing speed limit sign are both level one. Just want to make sure that the commission's aware of that.
So is there a consensus with respect to a recommendation with respect to a speed limit sign on Monroe?
Do you want to move? Do you want a motion?
Yeah, and so someone, what's your motion? Just to add a regular speed limit sign?
A regular painted speed limit sign from Public Works Department on Monroe southbound on the block between North and Lemoyne.
Okay, so Commissioner Chase made that motion. Is there a second?
And I'll second that.
Mr. Gillis seconded that. Any discussion? All right, and Chairman Hoyt noted that that's a level one mitigation. All right, so we can go ahead and vote on that.
Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Mr. Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner J. Rowley?
Yes.
Commissioner Osgood?
Yes.
Vote 6-0.
Any appetite to visit changing the nature of the speed limit sign on William? My understanding is that there's an existing speed limit sign on William southbound on that first block. Right?
Correct.
And are we content to leave that as it is and just add striping for now? Or is there any interest in suggesting a different speed limit sign on William?
Given the number of crashes that are mentioned more than the record, and they gave it a higher score, with adding a, even though it's only a level one, but adding a flashing stop sign might at least trigger a better response before you, as you suggested, before we go on to more dramatic changes.
So you're suggesting that maybe you would support a flashing sign. Any comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's too close. In other words, I think you haven't gained speed from the time you turn off North Avenue to Lemoyne for it to really tell you you're speeding. Just my opinion. I think that's why, you know, we're again two or three blocks down. By then, they're doing their 45, 50, 70 miles an hour, and it might.
Can I clarify? Can I ask for clarification? What kind of flashing sign are we talking about?
Because yeah, you're talking about the kind that says you're going 30, you're going 40.
Right.
Is that what they're talking about with the flashing, or is it a flashing sign that says speed limit is 25 and it's flashing?
Like the one where the solar thing is? Are you
it's a driver feedback sign.
A feedback sign?
Yes.
Okay. And so Rick is making the point that for the feedback to be meaningful, that it's not as meaningful in the first block, although the data show that people are going whatever, 32 miles an hour, at the 85th percentile, they're going about 32.
So, but nothing prevents us from potentially putting something further down.
We could put it in the next block before Greenfield.
We can move creative recommendation.
That's not on the table tonight. And there's a stop sign going south. Isn't there on Ed Lemoyne on
William? We're talking about William.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about William. There is, right?
There is, yes.
So they're supposed to be stopping at Lemoyne right there. So, I don't know if it warrants a...
Just to clarify, the recommendation does say that a flashing sign or a driver feedback sign. So there's our two different things, so we should just clarify which one we're talking about. This is on William. So it says it's already
the flashing
there,
one
that he's out of.
Was the flashing one with the solar thing where it just flashes the speed sign?
I don't know if we have them.
Because what he's talking about is it starts to tell you it starts blinking really fast and then it says stay.
I don't think we have a flashing speed limit sign in town. I think they're all feedback signs.
Yeah, we just have the flashing stop signs.
Right.
See, I just wonder, you know, looking at
if we're going to do a feedback, I think Glenn is the one to do it on. And I would personally recommend only doing it on one to see what results it provides. And so my bid is we do it for Glenn, we're doing that. And then the question is why not? And the cost of that is, you said $5,000?
Correct. I mean, we could table this, see what Striping does, and go back and whatever you guys want to do.
Plus, as Chairman said, do we have to officially go make a major change, send out notice to the residents about potentially doing this and give feedback?
Probably not for a traffic sign. I mean, for a speed limit sign.
Speed limit sign, no. For the Striping, we'd probably just give them a notification that we're doing it, not for a meeting, just so they know. I got to sign up for no parking anyway, so I got to tell them ahead of time that we're going to be out there. So, yeah, we'd let them know, but not for discussion here.
And so one suggestion from staff is that we consider adding the striping. You know, start with that, see if there is an existing speed limit sign. If we're not seeing any real change, then we can come back and sort of consider the toolbox, whether that would be a feedback sign with respect to speed or one of the other level two mitigation measures.
And real change would be really determined by advance of the neighbors, because we're not going to have to look at the tracks, but at least we're not planning
on it. I mean, probably, I mean, at some point, right, this is a challenge, like how
often it would be data-driven. It'd have to do with accidents. We're talking about accidents. So if we're at six accidents, which has got us to 44 points, which pushes us into level two, then, you know, after we do the striping in the spring, we revisit it, and are there another six accidents? Are there seven accidents? So that's data driven, and then we can make a decision from there if we want to up the signage. Question on the rumble strips, are they the ones that are indented, or are they the ones that are that come out?
We can do whatever you want. but I'm just telling you, if you guys put rumble strips in front of people's houses, they're going to freak because they're going to wake them up. I get calls about potholes that wake them up, let alone rumble strips.
Bro, I'm thinking about plowing too. So if they're indented, you can still plow.
We'll just take them out. That's fine.
Oh, they're temporary?
They take them out for the winter.
Well, what's the difference between for our education, the textured pavement and the rumble strips?
Is a rumble strip another word for a speed hump?
No.
Oh, no.
Isn't that the one which is like in a
Yes, it's you know, basically when you go off-road and you hit the rumble strip. And
yeah, when you
hit the one on the shoulder. The one on the shoulder, yes.
Going to O'Hare, those are rumble strips.
Yes.
Or the one in O'Hare when you come in.
Yeah, that's correct. Rumble strips.
Okay.
Well, how about a speed hump?
Yeah, the neighbors are telling you they're not going to like it.
Okay.
We don't like speed humps either? I mean,
so I think we just table the thought of the sign. Unless you guys think that we should consider a speed limit sign, I'm willing to let it go until the signage, the striping comes out and see what happens. Because what Teg has told us, we're in pretty good shape up there.
Ron, are you content? I mean, to sit tight with the striping for now and then revisit the idea.
I mean, he's saying
idea.
John can have whatever he wants, but he's never
getting. Arun, you haven't been here in a year. John, I know John well now.
Well, I mean, obviously.
I've been here 5 years.
So we're having this discussion. I guess the question is, we don't have to move to make a change. So. I guess that's the question on the table, is that does anyone want to entertain an additional motion with respect to William, or do we want to sit tight, see what the striping bears, and then revisit this as needed in the future?
Well, I think for the next meeting, if we can get some information per your question here, Berkshire and William, you know, do we have any traffic data there? Do we have any accident data? You know, can we at least look at that? Because I know you've asked for stop signs there before.
I know that's where the speed happens, to
right.
your point, yeah. Rick. It's not in that first point. I mean, right. I get it. It says 32 and 7 miles per hour over. But I'm telling you, it's more than 7 between Greenfield and Division, because they have two long blocks wide open to go.
It doesn't go through. It dead ends at William.
Right. Did you also say there's a long stretch from Trinity, or I guess that would be Lathrop, all the way to from Jackson straight through to
Jackson to Greenfield.
Right. Three blocks. On Berkshire. That's a straight shot too.
Yeah.
Because we did safety of schools.
Yeah. Yeah,
we did the safety of schools, so we implemented 650-something stop signs in the village for the kids to walk, and so it was looked at. You know,
there's a stop sign on Berkshire on the corner of Trinity.
But not at when.
But you're saying
it's not
Jackson,
a four-way stop.
It's not a four-way stop right. at Jackson and Berkshire, and
correct.
The entrance to Trinity where all the kids pull their cars in or park on the street on Berkshire is right there.
So I guess the question is, I mean, I should know the answer to this, but is if there's a request or if there's a recommendation to consider changing that stop sign to a four-way stop, is that what you're suggesting?
I'm just asking. I thought that this traffic data went further. When I read it last night, I clearly did not pay enough attention.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that solving the speeding problem and the crash problem probably was related to those blocks where the most incidents has occurred, and if you could follow the TG, but then I realized it's only one block, so I reserved my comment. My only point to you guys is that there is two long blocks across those three streets that there's no stopping whatsoever.
Going north,
yeah.
south.
Yeah,
right,
like
north, south.
Road,
you guys, like, you guys have brought this up before. We've heard it from other people, yeah. and you're absolutely right.
And on William, the only problem is there's the park entrance
right.
where people walk their dogs and take their kids.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of people park there because you can go in and
yeah,
watch your
yeah,
kids.
And we're just worried about people
there.
Kids pop
out from those cars, right, when they're parked in the street, and those cars are flying down, and you can't see kids come through when cars are parked, pop out.
I mean, so those are some of the things that would,
and so like
could,
you were saying,
they would support a stop sign and may have a salutary effect of also perhaps slowing traffic, but it also adds some control and some clarity to an intersection that people are using for other purposes. And so I guess one question is, do we suggest that we put on an agenda for a next meeting, whether we would maybe, and I don't know, I know generally we've obviously tried to resist the temptation to have a stop sign on every corner and be Gatewood, but you know, if there's a good reason to have a stop sign or to convert an intersection from a two-way to a four-way, then we do, we consider that. And so I'm wondering if we want to suggest for a future meeting that we at least consider adding and make converting the stop sign at William and Bonnie Berkshire to a four-way. A three-way.
It'd be a three-way because it dead ends to the park. Right, and there's a park entrance there. And then also, too, I'll just throw it out. I know in the past we've always tried to put four-way stops near schools, and we don't have one here, which somehow.
Where's the stop sign in Jackson and Berkshire?
It's you can go north-south without a stop sign.
Oh, it's north-south?
No, it's east-west.
No, it's east-west are the stop signs.
But you can continue on Jackson from Division straight through to
Greenfield.
Correct.
And I would imagine there's a stop sign in Greenfield.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's three blocks that you can go from Division to Greenfield without stopping.
Two blocks.
Correct.
Right.
And then there's no stop sign from Jackson going east on Berkshire until you hit William.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So that's two full blocks.
And correct. Historically, we've tried to let it go two blocks.
Right.
Without a stop sign, so as to avoid having a stop sign every
right.
block.
Right. No, I'm thinking more about the north-south traffic flow on those three blocks. I like Rick's idea of the four-way on Jackson and Berkshire. Jackson. Four-way on Jackson and Berkshire, and then maybe address the north-south streets, the other two, William and Monroe.
I mean, what this data tells me is people are coming up Monroe and William as cut-through streets, and they're going past Lemoyne, and which to probably cut through, especially if there's a two-block radius after they hit it, to go full blocks to get to Division, and then cut across to get to Harlem. Yeah, that's why I'm just saying, do we have data? Because I don't want to make any decisions without data. If we have data from Greenfield to Division, would be very enlightening.
So for the next meeting, let's, you know, Bill, you guys can just take a look at those two intersections and see if there's any information and if it makes sense.
The two intersections you're talking about are to put on the agenda next meeting, Jackson and Berkshire and William and Berkshire?
Correct.
And I guess what I'd probably suggest that we at least start with confirming if there's KLOA data. Let's just gather the KLOA data that we have, and then at least we have that data to start with. At some point, if we decide that's not good enough, I guess we could revisit that, but at least we'd have
this data. We can always consider revisiting three-way intersection when Fenwick's doing more of the primary, but in the Greenfield too. If there's more activity that's happening there with Fenwick doing more things in the primary, it's going to impact Greenfield and also impact William.
So the suggestion right now is that we put on the agenda for the next meeting consideration of some kind of traffic control signage, stop signs, basically at either and or William and Berkshire and or Jackson and Berkshire that we can
see. Or is it just look at the data?
And consider the data and decide.
Look at the data and see if there is any.
And that way there would be notice to the neighbors if people want to come and address, you know, that issue.
If there's no data, that's the question.
I mean, right now, I don't hear us recommending that we're going to put a stop sign there at all. But, you know, so maybe I guess there's not necessarily a need for a petition. If somebody wants to petition for a stop sign, people are welcome to do that. But, you know, I guess what we're suggesting is that we collect the data that we have and at least discuss those two intersections in the context of the, you know, the other stop signs that exist in the area and try to, including what we did with the Safe Walks to Safe Routes to School program, and decide whether we want to recommend some kind of a change to the stop signs at those intersections.
I mean, now that we have these scoring matrices in front of us, we can almost do it ourselves, right? Is it close to a school? Yes. If they're doing 32 miles an hour from North Avenue to Lemoyne, they're going to do 32 miles an hour.
We will pay a consultant by hour to make the decision for us.
Okay.
We're done guessing.
We're gonna
pay them good money so that I don't have 50 people yelling at me again. We are going to do it slow steps.
There will be no math.
No.
The commissioner.
All right. So I guess what I'm hearing is that I'm not hearing any sentiment from the commission to push for any additional changes at the Bonnie Bray, Clinton Place, William and Monroe beyond the striping on Monroe and Williams, and the addition of a regular speed limit sign. Clinton Place, William and Monroe. That motion passed, and adding a regular stop sign southbound on. I'm sorry, a regular speed limit sign southbound on.
Maybe Franklin.
No joking.
So one does not exist on Monroe. A speed limit sign does exist on William. Does it exist on Clinton and Monroe?
Yes.
Clinton and Byron.
Yes.
So William's the only one that it does not exist.
Well,
Monroe.
Thank you. The only one that does not exist.
No, I'm sorry. Bonnie Bray does not have a speed limit sign, but they don't have, they're not even a level one. So,
yeah.
So Monroe is the main issue with the speed limit sign.
I thought we already voted on the speed limit sign on Monroe.
Yes.
I was just recapping. Okay, so are we done?
There's nothing new.
Yes.
We already voted.
So hold on.
We're all done.
So the suggestion is then I think we've done what we want to do with respect to those streets. That was the point of it. There's nothing further we're recommending tonight with respect to those streets. Okay.
Yes.
And then second, we're suggesting that we add to the agenda next time the intersections of William and Berkshire and Jackson and Berkshire. So we're adding those to the agenda for the next meeting to discuss whether we would want to consider any further.
Yes, staff will review the reports, see what kind of data we have for those intersections, and put them on the agenda.
That'll include crash data.
Yes, whatever data we have,
we will
show you. And then, joking aside, we've talked to the consultant. He is more than willing to do all these matrices for us and whenever we have them come up. We're not going to have a lot of them come up, so we'll charge us by the hour, take care of it. It'll be out of our hands completely.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's helpful in what they've done. I think, as the neighbors pointed out, I mean, even though it was a limited data set, it was very helpful that what we got. And so we appreciate that. Okay. Great. Thank you for coming. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
You second?
We already did it.
Pat already
did
got beat.
Second.
I think we're all in favor.
Aye.
All right. Thanks for coming, folks.
Thank you.
See you next time,
guys.
We'll see you next time.
Take care.